thank you for your incredible giving last week. We had more than $1.4 million total pledged for our Rise and Build program, over $423,000 in cash, I think it was, that came in the offering between the two services last Sunday. And we were a little hesitant to post that on Facebook because somebody's going to read it and go, they got $400,000 in cash at the church laying around somewhere. So most of that was checks or whatever. But anyway, it's in the bank now, so don't go searching. But I won't even tell you which bank. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But the money is there. Thank you so much. If you weren't here last Sunday, or you weren't prepared to give or to participate in the campaign, there are cards out there like this, Rise and Build, and feel free to pick one up or take them to your neighbors or whatever. But man, we've made some great strides. There's more to go. And but anyway, thank you so much for giving. We quoted last week from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul said that God would bless us so we could have bread for food and we could have seed for sowing and we could be generous on every occasion. And you proved yourself generous last week. And I thank you for that. And I just am praying, believing the Lord will bless you and provide for you as you provide for the Lord's church and his kingdom. So turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Once again, we're kind of continuing with our look at the story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem after they'd been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar 150 years before. We're using that as a metaphor for rebuilding the walls of our own personal life, our own personality, areas of our life that have been destroyed. And the gates as a place of spiritual influence. The gate was where the elders sat, or the king sat to rule. And we've talked about that as the place where Jesus is to rule. And by the way, Mike and Marcia, nice to see you here this morning. Mike just got back from a crusade and ministry in Crimea, right? Anybody shooting at you over there or anything? It was all safe. And great time, and lots of people saved and ministered to pastors, and we're glad for that. Always glad to hear the good work that's going on there. Well, so Nehemiah is rebuilding. One thing we notice immediately is that anything we attempt for God, any step we take in obeying God and His Word, any attempt we make to build God's kingdom, we're going to face opposition. It wouldn't surprise me to hear that some of you probably already this week have had it seemed the enemy tried to oppose your finances after you made a pledge to give to the building fund, that, you know, you heard that the job was going to end or something was going to happen. I know that if you've made a commitment to the Lord over the past month during this emphasis on Rise and Build, if you've just taken whatever steps to try to build up your spiritual life, to build those walls that were down, you've just made a pledge, I'm going to attend church faithfully, or I'm going to begin to pray and read my Bible every day, or even the simplest kind of act of devotion and spiritual discipline, you've been opposed. Because the truth is, Satan is opposed to your spiritual progress. He wants to stop you. I doubt that's a revelation to anybody. You probably already had that figured out, but it's the truth. And maybe a little reminder will help. He's opposed to your spiritual progress. He's opposed to anyone's spiritual progress. He's opposed to us building and growing as a church. He's opposed to you helping with James' mission. He's opposed to your giving. He's opposed to you rebuilding the gates and the walls of your life, placing Jesus upon the throne of your life. He's opposed to you taking any step of obedience and faith toward God. The devil's going to try to stop you. In Nehemiah's case, they were making pretty good progress. It had only been a couple of weeks. They were halfway up with the wall, and the enemy was not pleased. And so in chapter 4, verse 6, Nehemiah said, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? They're working with all their heart. They're excited about the building, excited to see progress. They're motivated and fired up to start with, and it's always that way. It gets a little more difficult as you go along. It's that way in a building program. So, man, we're excited. We're going to build, and this is all great. And then reality sets in, and they're going to tear off that choir room. And then the orchestra today is like, oh, there's no place to go back there because the walls are the doors are already boarded up, and you discovered that. So, and then here in a couple of 3 months, we're going to be down in the gym, all having fun down there. And that'll be more of a challenge. And then a couple of years from now, when you're still paying on the building pledge that you made, and we're already back in here and enjoying all of it, and you're thinking, I don't see why I need it. No, we're going to need it. It's just the challenge of that. It just gets a little harder as you start moving along. Life's just kind of that way. So it starts out great, but then fatigue starts to take a toll, and time starts to wear on you. The enemy starts interfering, and there was trouble. So the Bible says in verse 7, when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Notice they were determined to plot against them, and so they were conspiring with the others, figuring out the best scheme, the best way to try to defeat them. They were openly going to fight against them, and behind the scenes, they were looking for ways to stir up trouble. It may feel like everything and everyone is coming against you today, coming together to defeat you in the progress you're trying to make in serving God. Man, 3 months ago you said, I'm going to church. It was your New Year's resolution or your November resolution. I'm going to do this and starting this new year out right. And you made it. And then all of a sudden, everything started falling apart. And the car broke down and the kids were sick. And then you had, I don't know, I won't even start going down that road. You may have made a commitment to the Lord and now it feels like all hell has been unleashed against you. Well, let me tell you, the devil's not playing games, all right? He intends to defeat you and to destroy you if he can. Verse 11 says, also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. The enemies weren't just trying to keep them from building the wall. They wanted to kill them. They wanted to totally destroy and defeat them. The devil means business and he'll do whatever he can. He'll do whatever it takes to stop you, to defeat you, to stop your spiritual progress, to stop your faith, to destroy you if he can. He wants to stop the work of God that's going on in your life. Jesus said the devil's come to kill and steal and to destroy. He'll stir up trouble anywhere, anytime, any way he can. He'll look to divide. He'll look to tear up a youth group. He'll look to tear up a church staff. Any church going into a building program, they got a target on their back. And the devil's going to fight against us any way he can. Anybody that says, I'm going to make some new progress in terms of serving God, the devil's going to look for ways to wear you down, to limit you, to affect you somehow. So look what happens to Nehemiah's workers when we move through this chapter. First of all, they lost their strength. So verse 6 tells us the walls are halfway up. The people worked with all their heart. But then verse 10 tells us the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Well, you know what? The rubble had been there all along. In fact, the truth is there wasn't as much rubble there as there was when they started because they'd been taking stones out of the rubble to put the walls back up. But they were just so tired that they were just being overwhelmed by this. It just began to wear away at their strength. It's kind of that way with most of life, isn't it? Life just gets kind of hard and difficult sometimes. Living for Jesus gets hard sometimes. Staying surrendered and committed to the Lord, living a life of obedience, it's not always easy. Rebuilding your life, rebuilding discipline in your life, rebuilding your marriage, growing spiritually, serving the Lord, it's an all-day, everyday kind of life, and it can eventually kind of wear you down. So they begin to lose their strength. It just felt like too much, and everywhere they looked, they saw rubble. It just seemed overwhelming to them, and finally, they just kind of gave up. It's the feeling you get when you look around the house and think, it's too much. Today, we're going to tackle the clutter. No, it's too much. And then a year later, it's really too much, and that's where the show Hoarders came from. So anyway, we just gave in, didn't we? We just surrendered and here's what we've got. And it's too much. They lost their strength. Then they lost their vision of what could be. So verse 10 indicates they stopped focusing on the walls that were halfway up because that was amazing progress. It had been 150 years and the walls were down. Now, in a matter of, it was 50 days that they did this. So imagine of 25 days or something, they were halfway up with the walls. But then they start focusing on the rubble that was left to be removed and there's so much to be done. They stopped looking at what could be And what would be if they remained faithful to the Lord and to the task, and they started focusing on the rubble at hand. Let me tell you, no, it's not easy. It's not easy to do this. It's not easy to serve the Lord. It's overwhelming sometimes. This church is one of those churches that we're not going to promise you that it's going to be a piece of cake to serve the Lord and live for Him and discipleship. There's nothing to it. You came to the wrong place for that. Because Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow after me, you'll take up your cross and follow me. And so we're going to tell you the truth about it. Now, I will tell you that it is the best life you'll ever live. It won't be easy, but it's eternally better and richer and greater. No regrets, no disappointments about that. Keep your sights, though, on what will be if you remain faithful and obedient to the Lord. Keep your eyes. The Hebrews talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus. We look to Him and we see what's possible because we fixed our eyes on the one who is able to do all things and enables us to do all things through Christ. Wayne Meyer said, only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. We see into a spiritual kingdom and realize that we see, the Bible talks about it, that is seeing the one who is invisible. We see by faith and say, this is what God wants to do. This is what's going to be accomplished. So keep your focus on Jesus and not on the rubble. Keep trusting in His mercy and in His grace and in His provision. The walls are halfway up. Rejoice and then hand me some more mortar and hand me another stone and let's keep building. And instead of stopping and saying, oh, look at this. How are we ever going to get this done? If you've been on a work team somewhere or on a job, there's always one guy somewhere who's saying, we're never going to get this done. Well, we're not if you're just going to sit over there and moan, all right, and whine about it. But if you'll hand me another brick, we're going to get this done, all right? We're going to accomplish what we set out to do. Hand me a brick. Let's get the wall up. And so don't let discouragement or fatigue affect your vision. No, we can do this. It is possible. It's not hopeless. We're going to get the walls done. So let's keep our focus on what's important. Then the next thing, they lost their confidence. They were tired. The work had become more difficult. They were being threatened by their enemies. And we read that thread in verse 11 where they said, before you know what's happening, we'll be among you and then we're going to kill you. And Sanballat and the other enemies made sure the people heard about their threats. In an effort, it was really kind of psychological warfare, in an effort to discourage and frighten them and defeat them. So in verse 12 it says, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they'll attack us. So they had spread this word outside the city. They were telling them, you've heard what's going to happen, haven't you? You heard about the terrorist attack, haven't you? Yeah, they're inside there. They're already inside. They're cells, they're sleeper cells inside the old city of Jerusalem. And every time you turn around, they're going to kill you. And so then the people start coming in. Nehemiah, yeah? Listen, I just need to let you know, wherever you turn, they're going to kill you. Thanks for telling me. I appreciate that. And so he turns around and then another guy says, I just need to let you know, you can't run, you can't hide. They're going to kill you. They're coming at you from everywhere. Hey, I don't know if you've heard, they're going to kill you. Thank you. I appreciate you coming by. Thanks for letting me know. I need to see Nehemiah. It's urgent. What's up? They're going to kill you. Anywhere you go, they're going to kill you. 10 times over, everywhere he turned around, someone, thanks for coming by. Really? Really? I hadn't heard that there was an enemy trying to kill me. Thanks. 10 times over, it was making them nuts. And so it looked hopeless. So what's Nehemiah do? Several things. First of all, Nehemiah called a prayer meeting. This wasn't just Nehemiah praying this time. Other times he said, and I cried out to the Lord, or I began to pray. This time it says, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. It needs to be the first thing we do when we're under attack or under a threat is to pray, is to call on the Lord, call others to pray. There's power in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Seek the Lord's direction. Ask for His wisdom and guidance. We started studying the book of James here on Wednesday nights in the homecoming service just a couple of Wednesdays ago. And James said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Father who gives generously and without finding fault, not reluctantly. The Lord's not going to say, you again asking for wisdom? What'd you do with the last thing I told you? Instead, He's happy to give us the wisdom and the guidance and the direction we need. Ask. So Nehemiah calls the people. Let's pray to our God and let's ask for His help and His intervention. Let's pray. And then Nehemiah confronted their fear with faith. And understand, this wasn't some kind of theoretical threat, an existential threat. This was a real threat. There were real enemies inside and outside the city coming after them. He had given out swords and spears and shields and bows and arrows to the families. So everybody knew. It wasn't like, yeah, what if we had an enemy? No, this is the real deal. Remember those we used to have bomb, like nuclear. What am I trying to say? When I was a kid, you had to crawl under your desk in elementary school because we were checking out because we thought the Russians were going to kill us. And for some reason, they firmly believed that a kid underneath one of those little desks would be impervious to a nuclear blast. I don't know why. But that's what, right? You 60-year-old people remember? So we'd either get out in the hall for a tornado drill or you'd get under your desk because the Russians were dropping bombs on us. And so it was one thing to kind of have that going on. It's another thing when they really are dropping bombs on you, okay? So it's one thing to think that's a problem, and it's another when the government says, here's a gun, and here's your gas mask, get ready, because they're just down the street. That's a whole different thing. And so that's what's going on. All of a sudden, this is a real threat. They're really coming to kill them. And yet Nehemiah's confidence in the Lord was not shaken. We talked about this last Sunday. Nehemiah posted guards, surveyed the situation, and then he gets up and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." He starts out by telling them, don't let fear dominate you or your thinking or your life. Quoting Wayne Myers again, he said, starve your fears and feed your faith. Don't feed your fear. Don't let the internet feed your fear. Don't let social media feed your fear. Don't let your own thoughts stay in the Word of God. Feed your faith. Starve your fears. Don't let fear dominate your thinking. And then he said, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Have faith in the great and awesome God we serve. Remind yourself who you serve and who you belong to, who your Father is. And then he reminds them, remember who and what you're fighting for. You see, you're fighting for your spiritual life. You're fighting for your eternal destiny. You're fighting for your family and their spiritual well-being as well. So fight and fight fear with faith. The truth is, you've got nothing to fear when the Lord is on our side, right? If the Lord was not on our side, Israel said, if the Lord wasn't on our side, yeah, we've got problems, but He is on our side. And if the Lord be for you, the Bible says, then who can be against you? Nothing can conquer Him. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We've got nothing to fear. So confront fear with faith. That's what Nehemiah did. And then the Bible says he posted a guard. So Nehemiah took practical steps and posted armed guards. Pray and keep your powder dry, the old saying. Verse 9 says they prayed and posted a guard. Verse 13 tells us he posted people at the exposed places, at the lowest places in the wall. Verse 16 says, from that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and arrows. And those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. I'm telling you, these folks were serious about not being defeated and not stopped. They were not going to be exiled again. They were not going to allow their wives and their children to be sold as slaves again. They were not going to be defeated again. Larry, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do. The first time I went to Israel, we had come out of Yad Vashem, which is the National Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. It's a very moving place to go. And you're just confronted with the Holocaust, with the reality that 6 million Jews lost their lives. And we were standing outside there, and our guide, Yehuda, who's been here a couple of times, and Yehuda said, there's two things that define the Jewish people. He said, one is the Exodus, and Moses delivered us out of Egypt, and the other is the Holocaust. And he said, and what it says to us is, we will never let this happen again, so don't mess with us, is what he said in a very colorful fashion. Don't mess with us, because we will never let this happen again. We'll die to the last man before we let another Holocaust happen here. That's what's going on with Nehemiah. He says, this is not going to happen, not on my watch. They're not going to defeat us. They were serious about what was going on. And so Nehemiah takes practical steps to post a guard. I told you at the beginning, the devil's not playing games. He means to destroy you if he can. And we don't have to become preoccupied with the devil, but we're to be aware of his schemes, of what he's up to. And that means we need to be on guard. Lori Fulbright was here Wednesday and spoke to our Sunshine Group, our retirees, and talked about various scams that are being used around the city of Tulsa to get money from people. It was pretty eye-opening. And here's the thing. If you're armed with knowledge and awareness, you can refuse to be a victim. Armed with knowledge and awareness, you can refuse to be a victim to scams and to the schemes of the devil. Be aware and post a guard over your life. Now, I look back at verse 13. Nehemiah said, "Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows." He went to the places that were most vulnerable, the breaches in the wall. Now let me ask you, do you know the vulnerable places in your life? Where are the places in your life, in your personality, in your makeup, where you're most vulnerable to the attack of the enemy? You're most vulnerable to yield to temptation. Are there areas where the walls of protection are down in your life and in your personality? And wherever that is, you need to post a guard there. Right? So if you've got, I think you could march me through every casino in town and I'm not going to have a problem. I'm happy to hold on to my money or invest it somewhere else, and I don't get that kind of mindless, let's see how much I can lose today. Let me just tell you, you're not going to win. You're going to lose. It's just what's going to happen, because that's how they built Margaritaville out there, is because you went out there and you lost your money. You're not going to win. I don't care what the billboard said. And let me just tell you, those pictures of all those happy people, they're not out there. They're not out there. Happy, lovely people are not out there. It's miserable people that are losing their money every day. So now that I've preached that, I feel better. Okay, it's just a tip for you. All right. But here's the deal. You can tempt me with, hey, come over here and push a button and see if you can lose some of your money. All right. It's like throwing the rings on the pop bottles at the fair. No, thank you. Anyway, I'm not going to do that. Now, take me to the all-you-can-eat buffet out there. That might be a different deal. So I need to post a guard there, all right? But gambling's not my thing. I don't know where the walls are down in your life, is what I'm saying. I don't know where you're vulnerable. I don't know what the attack is. So maybe it's substance abuse, or maybe it's pornography or something inappropriate on the internet. If that's the case, then you shouldn't be sitting in a room by yourself with a computer. Set it out in the living room and don't have it on unless your wife or your husband or somebody stand there nearby. You're going to have to post a guard. I don't know where the walls are down in your life, but you better make sure you get the walls up, because your spiritual life, your eternal destiny, the future of your family and everything else may be at stake. So where are you vulnerable? Build a wall. Post a guard there. Look for those. Notice the vulnerable places where the walls are down, and post a guard. Minimize the exposure, and let's be victorious. And notice he said, from that day on, in verse 16, from that day on, Nehemiah and the people made a decision. Today is decision day. It's like Jamie saying, okay, I'm going to be 35. We're making, there's a line in the sand right here. This is what we're going to do. From this day on, they said, we're going to live differently. From this day on, we're going to live with discipline. We're going to stand guard and refuse to be defeated. From this day on, I'm going to get serious about serving God. And if you recognize the devil's trying to destroy you, and you know there are exposed places and weakened places in the walls of your life, you need to grab your spiritual weapons, prayer and faith and the Word of God and worship and church attendance and all those things, and decide, from this day on, I'm going to guard my heart and my life and my family from being defeated by the enemy. Stop making yourself an easy target for the devil. All right? You've seen those movies where the guy stands up and they're shooting. Come on, stay behind the rock and fire away, but don't make yourself an easy target. Get the walls up and let's get serious about serving God. And then finally, Nehemiah connected the people. Nehemiah knew the danger of people being spread out and disconnected from each other. It made them more vulnerable to attack. So look what he did. Verse 19 says, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we're widely separated from each other along the wall. So wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." When you look back at verse 18, Nehemiah mentioned that he'd stationed the people different places. He said, "But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me." Nehemiah was the emergency. He was the center for the civil defense. He was the emergency broadcast system chairman. All right. And so when they saw something, he says, "Blow the shofar," and had a ram's horn, a trumpet, and he'd blow that horn and everybody would come running to wherever that place was. Nehemiah was ready to call the people together to fight the enemy and to fight for each other at a moment's notice. At the first sign of trouble, at the first indication of an enemy attack, Nehemiah had a trumpeter sound the alarm so people would run to the rallying point, a place for the people. And the point is, the enemy wants to pick us off one at a time if he can. And so in order to defend against that, we simply need each other. It's about relationships in the kingdom. We're the body of Christ. And the Bible says He's knit us together, that which every joint supplies. We're in relationship with one another. And so we need each other. In some sense, our services here on Sunday or Wednesday are rallying points, a rallying place where we can come together to pray for one another and to worship together and where we're taught the Word of God. But we need more than just Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We need relationships that connect us. That's why we have Sunday school classes and in life groups and connect groups. Anywhere we can meet together, any way that we can come together and connect together so that when any one of us is under attack, we know about it. Somebody's there to help them. Somebody's got their back and we can rally and help meet the need. We've got to get connected and build those relationships. We've commented in the last couple of weeks, Gary Green has started 4 men and a mat, and you can still sign up, right, Gary? He's back there in the back. You can see him after service today if you want. We've got men praying for men in small groups right now. As of last Sunday night, there's 91 men signed up and in groups of 4 or 5. I think the most, there's one group maybe with 7 or something. They've agreed at certain times. Some pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. Some pray at 12:30 or 12:45 in the afternoon. Some pray at night. They've decided, the 4 or 5 of them together, have decided this is when we're going to pray. And every day at that moment, at that hour or thereabouts, they pray for one another and they pray for their families and they pray for the church and they're praying for their pastors. And I'm telling you, something powerful happens because they're praying for one another. If you haven't signed up, talk to Gary after this. But we're praying for one another. It's a modern day way of sounding the shofar and having us run together to pray. I tell you, it's blessed me this week to know that at different times during the day there have been men praying for me and praying for our church and praying that needs are met. Which brings us back to the beginning. Nehemiah started by calling a prayer meeting to pray, and then you post a guard and connect God's people and keep your spiritual weapons handy, those spiritual disciplines that help you live for God and make you wise and help you make obedient choices. Keep those by your side. Keep meeting up at the rallying point with God's people to worship and to pray and to study and to encourage one another and to make progress together, because that's how we're going to rise and build as individuals and as a church. Look back at verse 16 again. He says, "From that day on, half my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows and arrows." And then in verse 22, he says, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day." Nehemiah was a tough guy, right? We're going to work day and night, buddy. And he said, "Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." Sounds to me like they were pretty serious about this, that they always had their weapon. I remember Don Casey telling me about being in Vietnam. He said, didn't matter where you went, you had your weapon with you. If you went to the shower, went to the latrine, whatever, you had your helmet, your boots, and your weapon. You maybe didn't have anything else, maybe a towel, but you always had your weapon. You always had your weapon. That's what these guys are talking about. They always had their weapon. They had each other's backs. Half worked while the other half kept an eye out for enemy attacks. If they heard the trumpet, they dropped whatever they were doing and ran to the sound to fight for each other. They didn't let down their guard, not even to go get something for lunch or to get a drink. They were determined they were not going to be caught off guard or unprepared. They were not going to let their families be carried off into exile again. They were not going to be defeated, not this time, not on their watch. They were going to fight for their lives and for their brothers and sisters and families. They weren't going to surrender to the enemy. And I'm telling you today, neither will we. We're going to win this thing. Amen? So let me ask you, how determined are you? How determined are you to resist the devil and build and rebuild the spiritual walls in your life? How determined are you to fight for your family, for your sons and daughters, for your grandkids, for your mom and dad, for your brother or sister? How determined are you to fight for your marriage? You say, well, I've been fighting and I'm getting tired. I know. That's why we're sounding a shofar this morning. That's why we're saying, okay, then let us pray with you. Let us rally to where the battle is and let us encourage you. How determined are you to build your relationship with God? Are you determined enough to post a guard in those weak places and the exposed places of your life? Are you determined enough to do whatever it takes? We're in this together. And Nehemiah said, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there and our God will fight for us. Are you willing to run to the sound of the trumpet and pray for and fight for others? Will you get in the fight for others? That's the question for us today. If you're under attack this morning, there are people that are praying for you. And there are people here that want to pray for you. If you're under attack, I just believe the Lord has victory for us. And I believe we can pray one for another. The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. I just believe we ought to be able to fight for our families and fight for our own spiritual progress and discipleship and know that we're not going to be defeated. We're going to make it. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I know it's kind of late, but this is important. And we're going to, I'm not going to ask anybody to blow a shofar. I could have had Bob Spear just hit a good loud sound on a trumpet, I guess, this morning. But if you're here this morning and it feels like you're under attack in some way. Maybe it's physically in your body. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's a member of your family. Maybe it's a child, a son or daughter, a grandchild. Maybe it's your finance. Maybe it's your job. But somehow it feels like you're under attack. I want you to just come and stand here at the front because we're going to pray. Just imagine that I just gave a long blast on a shofar. We're sounding the alarm this morning. We're under attack, and what we need to do is rally together and pray. Come on. Just come on up. We're going to pray together this morning because we're under attack, because the enemy wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our families. He wants to come against us. He wants to bring sickness. He wants to mess us up, and the good news is it doesn't have to be that way. We're going to stand together. Come on in. Just come on up here a little closer. I'll step back where I won't breathe on you. Any of my contagions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me remind you again what he said. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. Nehemiah had this confidence. Y'all step on up that way because people are still trying to get down the aisle. We're just going to pack it in here today. Thank you so much for responding. Here's the deal. We start trying to figure out how we're going to do this. And we play a part. Nehemiah, they're building the wall as fast as they know how. And he posts guards. And he gives them swords and spears and shields and bows and arrows. He's counting on the battle. But it's this secret that you need to know. That Nehemiah says, but rally here because our God's going to fight for us. Our God's going to fight for us. It's not just our might. It's not just our strength to do this. God's going to show up. He's going to do what nobody else can do. We're doing everything we know how, but it's God that takes care of us. God fights this battle for us. I want you, there's not enough room for folks to get down here around you, but would you just stretch your hand towards our friends that are here at the front? And you that are here, let's pray one for another and let's believe God to help us today. Lord, you said that we heard the sound of that shofar and we rallied to that rallying point. And Nehemiah said, and our God will fight for us. And today, Lord, we're fighting for those who are weary in the battle. That our strength has run out and our focus is on the rubble. And it seems like we've been trying and we can't get above and we can't get ahead. It seems like the attack comes back. Sickness comes back again. Every time we take 3 steps forward, but we take a couple of steps back. And we're weary of the process. But Lord, I believe you today that God is here and you're going to fight for us today. That there's victory for us. And there's victory for our families. There's victory for our children and grandchildren. There's victory for our sons and daughters. There's victory for mom and dad. There's victory for us today. We look to you today, Lord, that you're the source, that you're the answer, that you're our Savior, that you're our helper. Oh God, come fight for us today. Come deliver us from sickness. Come break the shackles of bondage from us, from addiction, Lord. God, come set us free today. Do what no other power can do to provide the victory we need in our lives. God, enable us today to build the walls up in our own personality, in our own life, that we'll have the strength and courage to begin to live a disciplined life, that we'll walk in holiness before you. Lord, that we'll discern what the broken down places are in our own personality, in our own emotional makeup, in our own well-being, and we'll put the walls up. We'll run to those places where we're vulnerable, Lord, where we're exposed in our life, and we'll build the walls. We'll post a guard. We'll stand strong because we're not going to be defeated again. We won't go back into bondage, not back to immorality, not back to sexual sin, not bound again to gambling addiction, not bound again, Lord. We're going to walk in freedom. We're going to live in that freedom, and we won't go back. We won't go back. We're going to stand in freedom. Lord, let it be for us today. Oh, God, there's provision that's coming. There's provision that's coming, Lord. As we say yes to you and no to all the stuff the enemy's trying to drag us into, there's going to be provision for us, Lord. There's going to be provision, Lord. There'll be monetary provision made, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you're providing for your people because we rally, Lord, to that rallying place, and God fights for us today. God fights for us today. Lord, everybody standing in this group tonight, today, Lord, I pray for victory. I pray for deliverance. I pray for victory in their lives in the name of Jesus. Do what no other power can do, Lord. We stand upon your promise. It's true. It's certain, Lord. It's certain. We fight for one another, Lord. We fight for the church. We fight for our families, Lord. We're going to keep an eye out. We've got each other's backs, Lord. It's who we are. We're determined. We're determined to resist the devil. We're determined we're going to flee temptation. We're determined we're going to live in obedience to you. We're determined we're going to walk in and live a holy life, pleasing to you by your grace and by your mercy. And Lord, we're going to fight for one another, and you're going to fight for us. And there's victory for us. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Can we give thanks to the Lord that he's heard us this morning? Lord, I thank you. We believe you've heard us this morning. I believe there's victory for God's people today. Lord, I believe it. I believe it. There's something in store for the people of God. I hear it again in my spirit, Lord, what Nehemiah said. From that day on, Lord, as of this Sunday, February the 5th in 2017, from that day on, we're making a decision that our life is going to change. That for somebody, if Jesus tarries, the generations that are yet to come, they're going to look back to a decision you made today. That you're not going to give in. You're not going to allow the enemy to drag you off into sin and exile again. You're going to take a stand to do what's right. A change is being made today. From that day on, from this day on, we're going to serve the Lord. From this day on, our lives are going to be different. From this day on, things are going to be different at home. From this day on, we're making a choice and making a decision. Who knows what God's going to do? Who knows what can grow out of that decision that we make today? From this day on, we're posting a guard. From this day on, we're not going to be an easy mark for every scheme of the devil. From this day on, we're making a decision to serve him. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for decisions that are being made. I thank you, Lord, for a determination in our hearts that we're going to serve you and live for you. We're not going back, Lord. We're going forward. I believe you for victory. I believe, Lord, the enemy, he's going to continue to attack because that's who he is. But we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And if the Lord is on our side, if the Lord be for us, then who can be against us? I trust you today. I trust you today. Sopra ta samba yebukuso. A prestebra mashikara mosuvre mikitar lebrosto. Italamako suvra makate. Siba yeke isa mapronde bebehete.
Body today, for he has a job for us to do, and he needs the people that are committed no matter what comes or goes. We must speak the same language. We must speak the same heart, for God has a plan out in the future that we cannot see now, but he is orchestrating it at this moment, and there's going to be a building here. Not only a physical building, but a building of the spiritual life in us to make this a beacon on the west side to those that are in need. Sometime God uses unlikely sources to bring about his will and to establish his church. And it's the greatest organization in the world, so much that he laid down his life that we could have life. And he wants to give us abundance. He wants to give us the best. And I believe he's in the business of doing it this moment.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you're building in us. Thank you, Lord, that we can mark this day. That for some of us, Lord, it's a day of decision from this day on. Now, in the morning, we're going to wake up and we'll have to decide it again. Because we're going to wake up and think, oh, I don't know. In the joy of that moment, I said, Lord, this is how I'm going to live. But today, it would just be easier if I just went back to whatever it was. But Lord, we're going to mean business because the devil means business. He intends to defeat us and we intend to win. And we're going to be strong. And when we need somebody, we'll call and say, I need somebody to pray for me. Lord, we'll have people praying and we're going to rally and we're going to win. Hallelujah. We're going to get the walls built because we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let it be in Jesus' name. Amen.